however long he wants to go. Mr. Frank Pierce. You change your mind?
Oh. He just wanted to move the platform.
Yeah, well, I probably should.
He didn't want to belabor, Mr. Sir.
Thank you, George. Well, howdy, y'all. It's a privilege to be here on another Sabbath day. The sun's shining, but the rain came down last night. I went out and looked at our rain gauge this morning, 4 inches yesterday. So we were kind of inundated, but it's good to catch up on a little of the drought deficit that we've had. So we're thankful for that. Certainly want to thank all the mothers for the support and the encouragement they've given all of us through the year. We hope that you do have a wonderful Mother's Day. We appreciate your participation in the church and support of the church as well. So enjoy Mother's Day. Take advantage of it. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 1 and verse 14, Solomon states, I've seen all the works done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping after wind. So this was the perspective that Solomon had when he looked at the works of the flesh, the activities and things that he had done, and when he tried to analyze, you know, what the long-range benefit was and so forth. But he had that summation that all is vanity. But, you know, when he saw the overall purpose and saw that God's hand was indeed involved in the process and God had indeed created mankind for a purpose, he summarized it in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let's begin there. Let's turn there. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, or duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So he came back to the realization that God's hand is involved in this process, and God is judging us as those that he created in his image. It's God's purpose to develop in us as human beings, the kind of character that he has as our creator and sustainer, the same kind of character that he has, so that we can be sons born into his family, sharing eternity with others of like mind and of like spirit at that time. For this, we must be very, very thankful that God indeed has this plan. And indeed, he is working with each of us to bring us to that state where we can be in his family. Let's turn back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse 28, one that I'm sure you probably are familiar with and may be able to quote by yourself. So let's read here. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So it amplifies the fact that God does indeed have a purpose. And when he calls somebody, they're working to fulfill that purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. We're to become more like Jesus Christ day by day, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So all of those of us that have been called will be born into his family to be first fruits. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. So this is an affirmation of the fact that God is for us, he's working with us, he's going to help us to become very sons of his. But of course, we have to submit to that work in our lives and allow God to work with us. Let's turn back to Galatians. Galatians, the 6th chapter. And let's look at verse 22. Well, page stuck together. Well, there isn't any 22, is there? Galatians 5, I guess it is, that I'm really talking about. I put the wrong thing down. No wonder it's not there. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this is the approach that God is using. He's transforming our way of looking at things. He's allowing His Spirit to work with us, to grant us these fruits that produce this attitude and frame of mind in our hearts. The fruits of the Spirit, and not the works of the flesh that are mentioned back in beginning in verse 19. We see, of course, he says, against such there is no law. Why is that? Because they fulfill the law. They are what God intended. So there is no law against that, because God's way is love, and these fruits produce the impact of love and concern, outgoing concern for God and for mankind. So today, I would like to review the value of these fruits, one of those fruits specifically, the value of kindness in our lives. Are we growing in kindness, in the ability to show concern, love, appreciation for one another and for others? You know, love is the fulfilling of the law, as we just said, and that's, in course, in Romans 13 and verse 8. It is composed of these individual fruits, and that makes up the overall love that God has. And of course, there are more fruits than there are listed here, but these are the major ones. You might think of others that could be added to that list, but these are the things that God wants in part in our character. Kindness is one of the fruits that helps us to have and share God's love. So when we're kind, this is a portion of the way God shows love, is through kindness. So you look up kindness and look at the fruit of the Spirit and see, you know, what is the definition of kindness? I went to Strong's, number 5543, and we see the definition is usefulness or gentleness, showing overall usefulness and support for another person is considered the definition of kindness. And Thayer's Greek lexicon says it is work, act, action, deeds of kindness, showing kindness to other people. Not just thinking kindness, but showing kindness. You know, and you look also in a definition in the dictionary, Webster's, of course, is the reliable source, and it says that kindness is a kind deed, or the quality or state of being kind. But when I think about it a little bit and wonder, you know, what the Bible definition would be more fully and completely, I come back to the golden rule. I think that kindness, and this kind of summarizes it in my perspective, in Matthew 7 and verse 12, where it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So an outgoing concern or appreciation for other people, so that you are concerned about them, showing God's love and outgoing appreciation for that person. And in thinking about it even further, I decided, well, I'll try to summarize what I think kindness is. And so I put my own definition down here, and I said, a giving of the self to help or support others. It must come from in, from caring, for having a desire to help or appreciate other people, or to show that same concern for God. You know, in the world today, as Mr. Waddell was talking about, there is hate, there's deception, there's bitterness, there's all kinds of situations and circumstances, the works of the flesh, that are degrading man's moral character worse and worse year by year. And we know Satan's influence in the world. You get on a downward slide, he just pushes it a little bit harder, and you know, you're skidding pretty fast before long. But anyway, the world today, let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 gives a good summarization of what is really going on in the world today, in the last days, as it says here. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. In other words, there is not an outreach and concern and appreciation for others the way there should be. They're lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So this shows the attitude that we find ourselves in today in the world. And so as we seek to show kindness, we're influenced on the other side by what we see around us in the world. And that's the kind of influence that we face. So we need to be cautious as Christians that we show concern and outgoing love and appreciation despite the influence that the world is having on the morals and circumstances in the world today. In Galatians 6, in verse 6, hopefully I've got the right one this time, 6 and 6. It talks about reaping and sowing. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if we're sowing kindness and appreciation and love and concern for other people, then God is going to see that we will benefit from that. Yes, we may be hated, but essentially in many ways, we will be a light and we will receive the blessings of that in God's time. A man sows that, and that which he sows he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh, or his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So here is one element that we must consider. Don't let the world wear us down. You know, don't let the world wear us down. We can't lose heart. God encourages us to realize that and understand that. It's an uphill battle. We're being pushed downhill in the world, but you know, ours is an uphill battle that we have to fight. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. You know, not just one another necessarily, but as we have opportunity, we're to do that, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we see that God wants us to not lose heart, to have a positive approach of showing and setting that light that Brian was talking about on a hill so that it can be seen. And of course, we know that kindness is only one of the fruits of the Spirit. And when you really look at the fruits of the Spirit and see how they work together to produce love, you see that kindness is one, that you show mercy in kindness. So mercy is a fruit of the Spirit as well. Being long-suffering. By being long-suffering, you show kindness in many cases, and those work together to produce the love of God that He wants to show to other people. You know, there's a saying that says, don't expect to enjoy life if you keep the milk of human kindness bottled up. So if you're not willing to step out and share yourself with others, and you keep that to yourself, then you can't enjoy life. In other words, you won't receive the blessings that God has for us. And I put that in there. This is just a quote that emphasizes the fact that it is not a holding in, but a sharing and giving that is important. God's way is to give way, not the way of self and get, as we understand and see. To express God's way of give and show kindness, we must learn to give of ourselves repeatedly to others. It must be a way of life. You know, I was in the Boy Scouts. It's hard to believe, looking at me, that I was in the Boy Scouts at one time. And one of the characteristics of the Boy Scouts is they try to teach moral values. They try to teach moral values. So they have a Scout Law. And the Scout Law says, in their 12 steps in the Scout Law, a Scout is trustworthy, he is loyal, he is friendly, he's helpful, he's courteous, and he's kind. And it goes on, there are several others, but you know, the value is there. If we show that kindness, it's recognized that that's a characteristic that sets you apart, that helps you to become one of those lights on that hill. Because people recognize that, they understand that, they see that. Now also it says that there was indeed a motto that we had in the Scouts called the Scout Slogan. And what would you think that would be? Some of you may have been Scouts in the past, I don't know, but the Scout Slogan. Do a good turn daily. In other words, show kindness daily. Make it a point to do a good turn daily. See, so you're prodding yourself, and the moral of that situation was the Scouts were encouraging the boys and the girls that were in the Scouts to reach out to others, to show kindness and give of themselves towards others. And so it is a principle that we as well should show to other people, to reach out, to show kindness and appreciation for other people. You know, this requires action. We can't just think it. We can think it, but we should then allow that to come forth in action. Step out in faith, and when we see an opportunity, take advantage of it and show kindness. And that's what the daily slogan encouraged, to do a good turn daily. Makes you think about it. Am I doing some of the things I need to be doing? And I think we can practice that same principle in our lives. God is very kind to us, and He has shown us His great kindness and His mercy and His tremendous love. Let's look at that in Ephesians. The second chapter, Ephesians 2, and let's begin in verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you He has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We've all sinned, and by God's standard, when you sin, you reap the death penalty. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So there is a spirit in the world that is causing the downward slide and we know that that influence comes from Satan the devil, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So we all at one time indeed were a part of this world, and that's the world's condition. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive through together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So we receive the blessing of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on repentance and baptism and receiving God's Spirit, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice the phrase there that he made us sit together in heavenly places? It's stated in a positive sense, as if it's sure that that's the case. And it is, if we depend on God and let God work in us to bring this about. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. So that kindness has been shown to us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved, though through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it is a realization that action is required. If we're going to walk in good works, we've got to do things that are right and pleasing in God's sight. We've got to produce those good works. Back in Psalms, the 25th chapter, excuse me, Psalms 25, in verse 6. It says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been from old." So God has been dealing with mankind in a loving and kind way from the very beginning to fulfill his overall purpose. He's taken hands off in many cases to let us learn some lessons. In that way, he's really showing us love and kindness, because he wants us to really see the horrendous results of living a way that is not God's way. You know, you think about the world that was at one time before the flood. It must have been a horrendous world to live in at that time. You know, God finally said, enough, and we're going to have the flood to start all over again. There must have been tremendous acts of cruelty and abuse and hatred and so forth that took place at that time. But God allowed that so that mankind could learn the lesson that those ways do not work. And when they're given a chance to understand the truth, they will see the difference and make the right choice. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. So we're thankful that God is now teaching us this way that will produce the right results and allow us to have an opportunity to share eternity with others that he's created. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, Titus 3, and beginning in verse 1, It says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable and gentle, and showing all humanity, all humility to men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." So again, he reiterates the fact that we are to maintain those good works, that these are profitable not only to us because of the blessings we receive, but also to others because we're showing good and helping other people. You know, one of the things that is really an emphasis here, it's not just the doing good, but preventing bad. If, in other words, if our speech is abusive, is that kindness? So kindness is keeping your tongue in your mouth and keeping quiet in many cases. So that is kindness as well. So we must correct the bad and do the good. You know, it's both positive and negative to produce kindness that we need to have. So God's example has been set that we are to follow and show kindness and mercy to others. And when we do this, God blesses us, and it is profitable for all. People want to be treated with kindness, but humanly, so many times, we find it hard to treat others with that kindness that we would like to be treated with ourselves. Back to the golden rule again, you know, that situation. It's sometimes hard to do some of the things that you really need to be doing. In Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Ephesians 4 and verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you." So again, here's the contrast. You put these evil things away, and then you show the mercy and the love and outgoing concern for others in that process by doing that. So we see, as we think about it, that kindness begins where? Where does kindness begin? In our hearts and minds with God's Spirit. We have to let God's Spirit in and dwell within us with a caring attitude and outgoing concern is where it comes from. It begins with caring and then brings forth compassion and tenderheartedness towards other people, a real concern for their welfare and their condition and their situation, whatever that may be. In Luke, we know the example of the Good Samaritan. Let's turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke 10 and verse 25. Christ gave this example. I think it's verse 25. Yeah, there it is. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, and he tested him, talking about Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But then he has to go on, and he says, But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jericho, or Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and he looked, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And of course he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. So God is expecting us as his children to go and do likewise. Show the kind of kindness that was given as an example of the Good Samaritan. To show appreciation for other people and concern for their care and to provide for them in time of need. So let's don't excuse ourselves sometimes, which we tend to do, and I'm including myself in that particular. When we have opportunity, let's think about the opportunity that we have and look at the possibility that we might be able to show kindness by some kind of help or some way. You know, kindness is strengthened if we step out in faith and practice it day by day. So that's, you know, the reality of the situation. You, excuse me. So we need to look at ourselves in this way. Have that introspection on our thoughts and, you know, what is right and what is good to us and what is most good to God in that situation. Showing kindness also requires sacrifice in many cases. We have to be willing to sacrifice. Is that our attitude, that we can submit ourselves to being put upon, so to speak, to sacrifice? And sometimes we have to show generosity. Learn to use our words also in a positive way is showing kindness. Show appreciation to those that do good and that we are able to see the fruits of their labor. Show courtesy. Comfort and support other people whenever you can. Encourage them. Many are downtrodden and have difficulties that we don't know about and circumstances that we are not familiar with. So be optimistic and appreciative of the other person. Let's turn back again to Colossians. Colossians 3, and let's look at verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, Put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. There's pretty much a command from the Apostle Paul to those in Colossae. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So we're moving towards perfection when we put on kindness and showing appreciation for other people. So what are some of the things that we can do to show kindness? Maybe here even among the congregation. You may have your own ideas and thoughts and so forth, but I thought maybe I'd like to share some that came to my mind that would be able to show forth the love and appreciation for others. Becoming friendly, outgoing, and concerned for others, making yourself friendly, showing appreciation for other people, taking the time to visit with them, getting to know them, and appreciate their characteristics. Support them when you can. Give them encouragement and support. When visitors come, be friendly. Show appreciation for those visitors. Get to know them and support them. Maybe they'll return again. Help out in serving where you see needs. You know, there are needs in the congregation. We have things that need to be done. Sometimes other people are taking care of those, but if you see a need, volunteer. Be willing to step out in faith and do and support the church. You know, one of the things that's so encouraging is when you're having difficulties and so forth to receive a card or a call from a member of the body to let you know that they're concerned and want the best for you, that they appreciate you, and that they're willing to encourage and help you. So be willing to write a note, call, send a card, those kinds of things. Keep in touch. Show hospitality when you can. Some of us are able to do that, others may not be, but when you can, show hospitality. Get to know people, have them over to your home, and share together and show appreciation for them. Pray for one another. So many times, as you heard in the announcements, there are those that need prayers. Be sure that you listen and include them on your prayer list and let them know that you are praying for them when they have trials and sicknesses. Give appropriate thanks and praise for those that do things when you see those things and you appreciate those things. Like the saying said earlier, don't keep in the milk of human kindness. Express it. Show it. Give appropriate thanks. Take time to teach our children how to show kindness. You know, I mentioned about the Boy Scouts earlier and so forth. So many times, you know, we had training back then about the importance of teaching these things. And it's incumbent on us as parents to do the same for our children, to teach them so that they know to show respect and appreciation and do that for others. So many times today, the kids grow up in an abusive environment and so forth, so they don't have that willingness to share and show appreciation that God wants us to learn. So consider our children and the importance of supporting them and teaching them this attribute that God wants us to have. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Here is an expression of what real love is. 1 Corinthians 13. And let's begin in verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men or and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So here's an admonition to not just be expressing it with the words, but really putting it into practice, not becoming a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits nothing. And it goes on to say in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. So it's willing to suffer long and be kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And it goes on to show other attributes that love has. So we need to show the love through kindness. Show God's love in that way for other people. You know, one of the problems that we face as we grow up, we become married. It's a challenge. It's an opportunity. It's a blessing. But at times, it's difficult. How is kindness in your life, in your marriage? Do you show kindness and appreciation? Sometimes I'll have to say we don't. We don't always show kindness. But this is a reality of what God is challenging us with, is the opportunity that we have in this relationship, which is the closest relationship you have, to learn to show outgoing concern and love for others. We're going to tick one another off. I might say that from time to time. We might say things that irritate the other person, but how we respond and the way we answer is critical to showing love and kindness. God wants us to learn those things and see that and understand that. You know, in a recent international survey of people that were looking to be married indicated that they were looking at the traits that they wanted in a mate. And this was a worldwide survey. So they took samples from around the world of people looking to be married. So when they came to the traits they wanted, they had them list in order of importance the traits that were most important to them. And what do you think the first one was? A person that has kindness, is kind. Kind and responsive. Not abusive, not self-centered, but kind, outgoing concern for the other person. So, when we disagree, we can disagree and be agreeable, right? That means you don't agree maybe with what you disagreed about, but that you're agreeable with the disagreement. In other words, you don't get bent out of shape about what you're disagreeing about. That attitude and frame of mind is an attitude of kindness when you apply it. So the little light should go off in your mind. I'm in a disagreeable attitude. I need to change. So I encourage you to think that way when the challenge arises and to do that. Not just in marriage, but in other associations and circumstances as well. But marriage is, of course, one that we all that are married have experienced and understand the difficulties that we sometimes face in getting through circumstances and coming to an amiable conclusion. So in conclusion, we realize that love requires outgoing concern and appreciation for one another. I hope we see the value of growing in the spiritual fruit of kindness, and we're willing to make that effort to show brotherly kindness in all our relationships. Let's turn, as I conclude, back to 2 Peter to confirm the importance of this approach. Second Peter and verse 1. I mean, chapter 1. Second Peter 1, and let's begin in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. See, here is one of those attributes that I'm talking about today, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce, for giving us that lesson on kindness.